John Hanson here until 3 o'clock on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I just got a text from the 224. I heard Downers Grove police were called to break up a wild party. Maybe it was Enrique. Happy to see you back at work throwing one while you were gone. That's a good one. I don't think so, but maybe. I'll have to text him. He's taking care of David today. I'm sure he's not too happy that I've left him alone after a week of us, Patrick, kind of teaming up to take care of a four-month-old the whole time, not having to go to work. It was nice.
Yeah, it looked like a great trip, and David looked really cute with this. He had like one of those beach hats with the strap underneath.
He's living his bucket hat life. He did really well up there. My folks, a couple years ago, bought a place far northwest Sauk County. It's if you're going to the Dells, you get off and right at the Dells exit, you go about 20 miles west to a lake called Lake Redstone. It's a great area, and we're able to pop over there, usually for a couple days here and there, but given the schedule, it's usually a little tough. But the fine folks here at WGN let me have the whole week off.
That's nice of them.
It was really nice. We did a whole bunch of nothing. I was texting with our boss yesterday just about how little we did while we were gone.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not quite there. We have had him on the boat before, David, I'm referring to.
Okay.
He has like a life vest that he puts on. It's as big as he is. It's not really comfortable for him. And I feel like he gets nothing out of the experience.
Probably not.
Like he's not at the age where he is wowed that he's on a boat.
Right.
It's like for us in the picture of him on the boat.
I was going
to
say it's for the good picture.
Well, we've already done that. We've already got a couple good pictures of him in his sunglasses on a boat. So we didn't even take
him
on the boat this week. So
that's
all
you need.
All you can really do with him. And it was hot and sunny, so we had all these big umbrellas out and the shade of the trees, and you just lay on the grass with him. But that was so nice.
Good parents. No, that sounds great.
Sweet.
I mean, it's really relaxing.
It was. I mean, just watching the other boats go by. And
Lot of vacations aren't. I mean, they're fun, but not particularly relaxing. Yours sounds really relaxing.
Well, we're just very privileged and lucky that my parents bought a place that we get to take advantage of during the week and go up there. They were up there for a couple days, too, which is also nice because they love to watch David so that we can do some fun things on the lake and such.
Of course.
So, no, it was a really relaxing trip. And
that was nice.
It was very nice. How has your week been here since I just saw you a week ago?
Yeah, it was really busy. I went up to my wife's cabin in northern Wisconsin, which is further.
Just listen to us. Privileged people. Sorry, everyone.
I hope you all had I just married well.
Hope you all had a great week. We all went to our cabins.
That's not what I meant. I know. A couple days of relaxation on the boat. But
nice.
I'm glad to be home.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
I imagine a lot of WGN radio listeners, as always, interrupting your vacation time with their queries about work.
Sure.
That's what you do as an employment lawyer.
I do. Anything with regard to the workplace, at the job, if you're concerned that you're not treated fairly or not paid fairly, or, you know, if you're on your way out, you think you should get some separation compensation, or trying to get another job and you're not sure if non-compete prevents you from getting that job, all those sorts of things.
You told me something right before we went on the air about people that could be held liable civilly, I imagine, in civil court.
There you go.
For things that they do at work.
Right.
And I immediately then thought, well, all the years we've talked about employment law and suing the company for, you know, a bad boss or you were discriminated against, et cetera, I never thought that that you could actually sue. What is it, coworkers, bosses, as individual people, that they don't have the protections necessarily of the company that guide them through the process?
Yeah, under certain state and federal laws, you can be held liable as an individual for your workplace conduct. The one that I use most often is under the Illinois Wage Payment and Collection Act, where folks assert that they're owed compensation in some way. It could be just you're not paid what you should be on your way out, or severance pay or bonus or commission or something like that. If there is a manager or supervisor, someone individually responsible for making that decision not pay you monies you're entitled to a few other restrictions, but not really, these folks can be held liable. And so when I send out, because a lot of people don't know that. So when So when I send out a demand letter or when I file a lawsuit under the Illinois Wage Payment and Collection Act, I would say always, if not almost always, include the name of the individual as a separate defendant in that action, which I'm pretty sure they're surprised by.
Yeah, that would motivate me to make sure that the company paid them. I'm confused on how legally that is possible. If someone is, I mean, I assume this is usually a manager?
Usually, yes. Or it could be even like someone like the owner of a business of some sort or something like that. But yeah, if an individual is responsible for you not getting paid what you should be paid pursuant to, you know, your contract or policy or something of the company, they can be sued individually. And so I always include them. And there are a couple other laws. So, John, under the Illinois Human Rights Act, an individual can be held liable themselves for retaliation and sexual harassment, because that's really misconduct based, right? It's not like a performance. It's not under the quote unquote course and scope of your job. So you can be held individually liable for that.
Now we're talking about liable in civil court, right?
Yes. None of this is criminal.
No, I mean, behavior can escalate to criminal, but that's not done through you. That's done through the police. Like if there was an assault or something, obviously, or extreme versions of harassment that go beyond just improper at the workplace.
Yes, and oftentimes when we're asserting a demand letter or making a claim, we include a civil assault claim within that. Of course, it could be criminal conduct as well. But you're right; I have nothing to do with that. That's a separate process that we are not allowed to threaten in any sense to get the civil settlement done.
So, how often do people? I know that they might be. It might be able to be held liable if they withhold pay from you. Not only the company can be held liable, but an individual who's restricting that pay can be. Okay, I didn't know that till right now. How often does it come to that?
Well,
I mean, if you file a lawsuit against on behalf of a client.
I have two right now.
Against individuals?
Yes, against a company and individuals. I have two lawsuits for failure to pay, in both cases, bonuses that they are owed.
What's the standard that you have to show? Like, because a company not paying you, you're just like, well, clearly they should have. All the rules are there, and you're liable. I mean, like, is it the same standard for an individual restricting pay, or does that person have to knowingly act maliciously? Do you see what I'm asking?
I do, and the standard is a little bit higher. In other words, the Illinois Wage Payment Collection Act defines employer to include an individual. If they knowingly failed to pay you, compensation due to you pursuant to a contract or an agreement. The statute's pretty broad. It doesn't have to be a written contract. It just has to be agreement. A lot of them are verbal. A lot of what we rely on are statements made upon hire that someone's going to get a certain amount of bonus, and then they don't get paid that bonus, and then we sue the company and the individual for failure to pay that bonus.
Does this come up a lot when it's a single owner of a company, a small business that maybe thinks they have the protection of their LLC or their S-Corp to not individually be sued for not paying people what they deserve, or is this in big companies?
No, it's in big companies. It's not more often in small employers, believe it or not. Huh. I think individuals in large companies have absolutely no idea that they're potentially individually liable for that.
100%.
Yeah. And so we include them. You're right, John. What happens is because you've sued an individual, they really get to settlement quicker. The company and the individual get to a settlement discussion quicker, usually.
If I'm a boss and I haven't paid someone and then they're going to sue the company and me, boy, I'm going to quickly run that up the food chain and make sure that they get paid immediately.
Exactly. And that's the pressure. That's the pressure you want.
Is that why that the Wage Act allows for suing of a lawsuit against an individual to try and exert some pressure so it doesn't get tied up in a big corporation?
Well, it's certainly a good policy reason for doing that, for incentivizing individuals and companies to work together to, number one, pay people properly, and number two, when they don't, hold them both liable for it.
Okay. You good with the phone call? We can touch on, we can expand on that a little bit. I don't want to keep Ron waiting for too long. Hi, Ron. Good Saturday afternoon. You're on WGN.
Yeah, yes, it is. I love this segment. And attorney, with the recent ruling, the police officer who failed the drug test for marijuana, the police superintendent wanted him to be terminated. I believe he received a 90-day suspension. But just in general, in the workplace, I know before I retired, the place I worked, okay, if you were driving a vehicle, and I'm sure it was probably for some insurance reason, you got tested. I don't know if you got terminated. But so how is, you know, with marijuana being legal? Because they say it stays in your system 30 days. So if you smoke marijuana or ingested it 2-3 weeks prior to having an accident in a company vehicle, can they terminate you? So just broadly speaking, can you address that?
It's a great question, Ron.
And appreciate you coming on and taking questions.
Yeah, thank for sure. Let me catch everyone up to what they're talking about, because I had to look that up too, Ron, because I was gone all week. But it was a Chicago police officer. His name was Marshall Andrews Jr., Larry Snelling pushed to have him fired, but the board suspended him for 90 days in its first weed-related ruling since the drug was, of course, legalized here in 2020. And it could really set a precedent for two other pending disciplinary cases in which officers face firing for allegedly using cannabis. During an evidentiary hearing in May, the officer speculated that he unintentionally ate cannabis-laced food at a barbecue in Michigan just days before he was tested. I assume CPD, I shouldn't assume. Each company can still have its own drug policy. So let's broaden this out here, Patrick.
Sure. So here's the bottom line with this. Even though marijuana is legal in Illinois, companies can still have policies that prohibit you from testing positive in the workplace. And if you do, facing disciplinary procedures up to and including termination. So I think people think, oh, if it's legal, even if I test positive for it, I'm okay. You're not okay. Companies can still discipline and terminate people for testing positive.
For testing positive, not for being under the influence. For testing positive.
For testing positive for marijuana.
Because someone could be like, well, okay, I smoked a joint on a Saturday morning. It's my right. It's legal. I was totally clear and fine by Monday. What's the problem?
Now, here's how it works in reality. Most companies, and I think Ron alluded to this, most companies are not that strict. They are strict, however, if you're quote-unquote high while you're doing your job, if you're certainly operating any kind of vehicle or anything like that. So because it does stay in your system for 30 days-ish, companies aren't typically that stringent when it comes to discipline or termination for someone who simply tests positive. If, number one, their job requirements have nothing to do with safety or anything like that, or, number two, they're not just high at the office, just generally speaking. That's how it is in reality.
Here's a quote from the board, which voted 8-0 to suspend him. Officers who use cannabis are no longer violating a law that they swore to uphold, because it's not a law anymore. In addition, because of legalization, there's less risk that officers who use cannabis will become involved with a person or enterprise engaged in the illegal sale, delivery, or manufacture of drugs. Right. I imagine that while it was still illegal, that makes total sense. I mean, it makes total sense for a police officer not to use something that's an illegal substance.
Sure.
Nevertheless, the board says, CPD's policy of prohibiting cannabis use continues to be justified, and officers who violate this policy are subject to significant discipline up to and including discharge. Okay. The attorney for the officer said, officers should be allowed to, quote, use a perfectly legal substance, and I think the police board recognizes that. Police officers who use it during their off hours use it for multiple different reasons, for pain, for sleep, for relaxation, just like the rest of society. I don't know where I land on this one, Patrick.
So, and that's why I said, John, most companies are not that stringent, i.e., simply if you test positive for marijuana, you're going to be disciplined or terminated. It's more involved than that in terms of the facts, both with regard to the individual and whether their conduct at work has something to do with it too. That's a different scenario. But if you use marijuana in your off time, and let's just say you test positive a week later, has nothing to do with how you conduct your job, most companies, because it's legal now, will no longer discipline or terminate you. Or maybe just discipline, but not terminate you. But they can. That's the thing.
Yeah. I wonder if CPD still has this policy. I'll have to dig into a little bit more during the news break. If they have this policy because it's still a federally illegal drug, right?
It is, right. It's still illegal under federal law. That's correct.
So then I could see why CPD wouldn't rush to make it legal for their officers to use, even though the jurisdiction that they work in allows it. In fact, Chicago police officers have to live in the city. So they know that, they could be doing it in other states, of course, which is illegal. But, Yeah, I don't know. That's a real murky area. I can understand why CPD wouldn't put themselves out there and say, we're going to make it legal for officers to use. But I also agree with the lawyer for the officer. If everyone else out there can have a joint to relax or relieve some pain or suffering, medical marijuana, of course, why can't a police officer, the most stressful job that exists in this city, have they can drink?
Yeah, no,
which in many ways is way more harmful than marijuana.
I think it is in a lot of ways. But yes, the CPD probably looks at it a little bit, you know, differently for obvious reasons than your private company employer, and that's why policies at that private company employer tend not to be as strict.
Do you think this is just something that's just going to take some time? As legalization has moved pretty rapidly over the last decade or so in many different states. I mean, it's hard to imagine 10 years ago, still be arrested for smoking marijuana in Chicago, let alone, it didn't happen all that often, but let alone now you could sell it, no problem. Do you think just companies are going to take a while to adjust to the fact that the stigma around this has changed?
Yeah, I think they've already adjusted, to be honest, Sean.
Many of them.
Yeah, I think they have. And they've already determined, given what the company does, given what their employees do, how they're going to handle this particular issue.
Yeah. 872 says alcohol is legal too. Yeah, I think that they're agreeing with my point there. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious what you all think. Would it bother you if CPD said that marijuana could be legal? It wouldn't bother me, I don't think. I'll dive into this a little bit more. We got to take a break. We got the news coming up. 312-917-2200. Chime in. Phone line, text line. Patrick Dolan here. Mike Leonard hopping on in the next hour, too, on WGN. It's John Hansen. We'll take you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. The show is called Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And Iridian, I don't think I've said that it's our four-year anniversary, like this week or last week. The show's been on the air for 4 years. Yeah, Iridian giving a slow clap behind the glass. Patrick Dolan's been here for most of it.
She does great. I love Iridian.
Iridian's wonderful. She also produces Your Money Matters. We do that Monday through Thursday night. She's very busy.
Huge day tomorrow. What's tomorrow?
Oh.
It's John's birthday tomorrow.
Yes. So I was like, what's tomorrow? Well, I turned 40 last year, and that one kind of like sticks at you, and you know it's coming. And then this year, you're like, whatever.
I just saw a little flyer on a WGN fridge that said, you know, because honestly, I didn't remember. Sorry.
I was going to say, no. Yeah. Speaking of which, Steve King, it's his birthday today from Steve and Johnny, of course. I think everyone knows who Steve King is. It's his birthday today. So a very happy birthday to Steve.
So love not another big birthday bash tomorrow.
No. Yeah. Last year I had everyone I could over at my house because, you know, it was the 40. And honestly, 40 didn't bother me. The 41 actually kind of bothers me a little bit more because I think that you hype yourself so much up for the round numbers.
And now you're in your 40s.
Yes. And then you're like, wait, it keeps going.
Like, better if it didn't keep going.
And also,
John,
I know a million people. Yes, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. The numbers going up are a good thing.
Good. Yeah.
I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes. I know 40 isn't old. I know I know.
I am so much older than you.
I know. I'm not one of those people that's like, 40. Oh my gosh. But when it was this year, I'm like, 41. Okay, yeah, that's right. Keeps on going up. But
Iridian's super young.
She is super young. She gives Gen Z vibes, but she's a millennial, I just want to say. Exactly. 312-981-7200, save us from ourselves, people.
Yeah.
You were mentioning about being sued, that you, in your role at work as a boss or an employee, are subject to civil litigation for things that happen in the workplace.
Yes.
The example you were using is if a boss, your direct superior, withholds pay for you, mm-hmm. either you're on the way out or they owe you money and you haven't
done it.
Bonus. Right. You can not only sue the company, but you can name and have a separate lawsuit against the individual responsible for that. I think that's A, news to a lot of bosses out there listening, that they are subject to civil litigation.
It's public service. I'm just trying to put the information out there, John.
But it also helps speed things along. If you haven't been paid or something is wrong and you call Patrick Dolan, he's going to send a mean, nasty letter with Conti and Dolan letterhead, which includes a picture of Karen Conti, which means that it's business.
Yes.
And by saying we're not only going to sue you, company, potentially, if we don't move this along, but named individual one is also going to get sued. Boy, that has a rapid effect of fixing the problem, you think?
I think so. And I'm not sure I have ever filed a lawsuit under the Illinois Wage Payment Collection Act without asserting a separate individual as a named defendant. That's how often it happens.
Yeah, it's every time, essentially, you're saying.
Yep.
Okay.
Mostly, yeah.
224 added in that they were sued as an employee by another employee for libel and slander. Why? Well, this texter says that they reported him to the administration for harassment. So I'm surprised by that. I guess if the person felt like you had gone overboard and were lying about something that had happened at work, I could see. I'm not saying that 224 was lying. I'm saying if this person felt like they were lying or they were desperate to try and show that you were lying in some way, so filing a civil litigation suit against you?
Maybe possible for like defamation. I would be concerned.
Yeah.
I would be concerned about the publication element of it. If it's false, you know, that gets you part of the way home, and it has to be false. If there are damages and if the person was disciplined or terminated or something, there's your damage. But if you only report it to like HR and they conduct a confidential investigation, I'm not sure that's going to rise to a sufficient level of quote unquote publication to get you a defamation claim. Now, having said that, that's sort of like the ticky-tack legal you know, claim analysis. The reality is people file that lawsuit all the time because they feel like they have been defamed by somebody else complaining about them. That leads to an investigation of the harassment claim, and it becomes a really big deal. And I've represented a lot of people who've been the targets of harassment claims who are being internally investigated, and what they have to go through is really rigorous. And companies, for I think for a lot of legitimate reasons, take these investigations very seriously, and they talk to a number of people, including the claimant and the alleged harasser. And what happens is the alleged harasser is disciplined or terminated a lot of the time. Even if it's not entirely clear what happened, companies are typically more afraid.
CYA.
Yes, of a lawsuit from the person who claimed to have been harassed.
Yes.
Versus the person, you know, who is the alleged harasser, who may only have like a breach of contract action if they didn't follow their own internal investigation procedures.
The burden, in theory, should be on the person who's claimed they are being harassed, but it doesn't often work that way in corporate structure.
No, in reality.
It's not a court of law.
No, it's not. In reality, it's quite the opposite. And, you know, I've certainly represented folks who have been terminated on what I would consider to be very thin conflicting evidence that I don't think should result in discipline or termination, because the harasser, the person claiming harassment has some axe to grind or something like that. But, you know, companies do the best they can, and these investigations are very difficult to do. But as long as they do them promptly and thoroughly, then they'll come to the right conclusion most of the time.
If someone listening right now is having difficulties with a boss or someone else at work, and they're getting ready maybe to go to HR to talk to them about that, is that something that maybe they should give you a ring about before they do that? I don't want to say lawyer up for just a simple in-office spat, but I just don't – you can get – if you don't do it the right way, it can lead to trouble down the road,
it
right?
It can lead to trouble and, you know, believe it or not, retaliation against you. So I often have that conversation. They're like, what do I do in this circumstance? Who should I talk to, HR or my boss? Should I even say anything? You know, listen to this. Is it severe enough where I should complain? What's going to happen if I do? And so there's lots of, you know, once you do that, it's out of your control.
You've gone down the road.
You've gone down the road. The company will do an investigation. Maybe it's a good one. Maybe it's not a good one. Maybe it's thorough. Maybe it's not thorough, you know. And so you're really opening yourself up to a lot of stuff. But generally speaking, if you feel like you've been harassed in the workplace, you should complain about it. And it should not, it should be not just to your boss, but include HR, especially if, obviously, if it is your boss.
Let's talk after the break about what happens if you're the one being investigated.
Mm-hmm.
It must be one of the most terrifying things to happen in a workplace situation.
Yes.
Especially if you feel like you didn't do anything wrong.
Yes.
Let's dive into that just really quickly before this break. The 773 chimes in. I always feel that the year after a milestone birthday is like the second day of kindergarten.
Okay.
Like it's been built up
to
this big
it.
Thing. Yeah.
And then
I agree.
A letdown.
773.
That's a good way to look at it.
I can't read that text. Can't read that one.
Oh.
But, But people are basically making fun of me for complaining about being 41 tomorrow. Rightfully so. Okay, let's take a break. Then more with Patrick Dolan. Mike Leonard joining us in the second hour. 312-981-7200. Your questions, your concerns. What's happening at work that you don't think is right? Did something happen to cause you to lose your job? Maybe you just started at a new company. You got some questions about how to onboard correctly. Whatever you got, 312-981-7200 on WGN. A lot of texts coming in saying that, yes, 41, come on, eye roll. I'm 65 next Saturday, and I'm hiding my blank or my wrinkled blank. Well,
what does that word
by
start
leaving
with?
It blank? A.
Okay.
Yes, that's important. Yes. Sorry, like, it was almost like worse leaving
clothes?
It blank. Yes,
right, exactly.
Okay. 847. Yo,
do.
Dude, I just turned 65. That was a shock. I still think I'm 15 or 16.
Yeah.
Wish I knew what I know now. Have a good show. Thank you very much. No, I get it, and I don't really think it's old. I just.
It's not.
Who likes getting older? I like the wisdom that it comes with, the financial footing that it comes with sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I had a kid this past year. That's exciting. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It's all wonderful. Just a little
Every decade has its challenges. They're just different.
I mean, I think there's in your head a little bit, there's a little switch when the thing switches.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aridian. She just handed me this piece of paper to remind folks about Manuka, or your hometown. Thank you, Aridian. Series featuring the town that makes unique things happen. People, places, businesses, hidden gems. And next Thursday, we're spotlighting Manuka. I went there to do the WGN radio video a couple weeks ago. It's a great little drive out on Interstate 80. And we're going to feature it all this next Thursday.
It's nice.
Which reminds me, I need to edit that video.
That's what you're going to do this evening?
That's what I'm going to do on my birthday tomorrow. I'm going to edit the Your Hometown video. For WG.
So what happens when you get older? You just work on
your
birthday.
You just work on your birthday. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
708 chimes in. This is a workers. I don't know if it's a work comp question.
Okay,
let's go
we'll
into
see.
It. I'm in Cook County. I had a workers comp case that I won. My boss always tells me, "I know you won, but I don't need a reason to get rid of you." Is that considered retaliation? Boy, that does sound like it, right?
It does. It certainly does.
Why
sound
are you
like
laughing?
It.
That's
well,
not good.
It's like a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, yeah, it does sound like it. First of all, they're correct. They don't need a reason to get rid of them. But on the heels of winning a workers comp claim, and they're like, "I can still get rid of you." You know, that's not a great idea.
No, I mean, like. If you really want to get rid of the person, just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Why would you tell them leading up to maybe firing
them? That's what I mean. That's why I
laughed. Or holding it over your head.
That's why I laughed.
Is that retaliation, though? I mean, they're really
no,
open. If this person gets fired, that's...
I think that's pretty good evidence to support a retaliation claim. First of all, if it's right on the heels of it, chronologically, it works really well. And that comment certainly sounds implicitly like it could be evidence of retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
I would use it in a demand letter. Let's put it that way.
Someone, I got to stop here for a second.
Go
Someone
ahead.
Said, "My God, are you related to Mary? Who pronounces Manuka like that? Except Mary, and now you."
Oh,
did I say Manuka wrong?
How do you say it?
Manuka. Anyone?
I don't.
630, call in. Tell me how I'm saying this wrong. I went to the
Manuka?
Town. I talked to the mayor about Manuka.
How does the mayor say it?
It's Nick Offerman's dad, by the way.
The
mayor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he gave me the cutest gift ever from the woodworking shop, which I'll share more in the video. And they're big WGN fans too, the Offerman family. And now I feel like I'm completely self-conscious right now that I'm saying the town wrong.
Well, maybe the mayor can jump on and tell you how to say it. Although you would remember if he said it differently, then you'd be like, "Oh, I'm saying it wrong."
You'd hope I would, but sometimes
things
go over my head.
You're young. You probably remember.
Manuka. Well, that one I emphasized the ooh too much. Manuka.
What are you, Canadian?
Okay, well, now I'm self-conscious about this. First day back from vacation is always rough, people.
This is tough.
It's not
tough
easy to slide
John.
Back in and just talk on the radio and expect it to come out seamlessly.
Apparently.
But to mess up a town that I've lived 40 miles from my entire life.
That's tough.
After doing traffic reporting for 6 years in this town where I flew over all these communities and reported them on the air.
No more vacation for you.
Manuka.
This is tough getting back into it.
Someone from Manuka, call right now. 312-981-7200.
Manuka.
Otherwise, we got to call the town hotline and find out what they say on their voicemail.
There you go.
Okay, 312-981-7200.
Wow, we really went into that one.
Well, the 6 year old says I said Manaka. It's Manuka. I did not say Manaka.
Like Manakwa?
I didn't say Manakwa.
That's a different.
Manuka.
Wisconsin.
All right, well, now I feel like I've won the battle against the 630. I've lost the battle of keeping listeners, though. Patrick, if you are someone who is being investigated at work.
Yes.
It usually comes in the form of what? An HR notification like, "Hey, we received something. We're looking into this."
Yeah, and HR will tell you just enough so that you basically know what the complaint was, but not who made the complaint or not specifics about the complaint. And they will tell you, we've received a complaint of bullying or harassing behavior in the workplace.
They'll tell you generally what it's about.
Generally. And then they will, we'd like to set up a time to talk with you. And that elicits true panic. And then I talk to the person, and it's very stressful. And I say, you know, listen.
So wait, first of all, should they call you if they get a complaint?
People do all the time because they don't know what to do. Should I talk? Should I not talk? What should I say? Should I bring a lawyer? Should I not bring a lawyer? You know, a whole bunch of things. I would say, generally speaking, absolutely yes. Respond to that investigation inquiry. Tell the truth. Be very open about it. Because anything you hide will make it worse. They're going to find out. They're going to look at your emails. You know,
oh, yeah. I mean, they're going to go through your Teams messages.
They're going to go through everything. Just assume they're going to go through everything because they have access to everything.
Well, that actually brings up another point. Like, what happens if they're investigating you for bullying and they find out that you said something about someone in a Teams chat that has nothing to do with the case before them? Are they limited in their scope? Or once they start looking, they can figure out that you made fun of so-and-so and they're gone?
They'll look at everything, and they can look at everything because you have pretty much zero expectation of privacy. And so if they find something else, they can investigate that too. So be honest, respond, provide the information they request, do it in a timely fashion. Do you have a right to a lawyer? In the circumstance where it's just an internal investigation, where you're not necessarily the target of any, you know, civil action, criminal action, or something like that, I think the employer can say, instruct you not to have a lawyer present. I think that's okay, but I argue that point all the time. And so if you think you do, and if you think you're facing some sort of liability, then, you know, I will probably get involved. But what I do, just to be clear at that stage, is listen. What I want is fairness. I want fair questions. I want to make sure they're talking to everybody, investigating it fairly, not just, you know, believing the person who made the claim, listening to my client with an open mind, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, like you don't have like a Fifth Amendment protection. I mean, you can choose not to answer any question.
You can,
but you're going to get fired.
You're going to get fired.
Right, you don't have the freedom of a Fifth Amendment protection, and then you can not get fired.
No. You're going to get fired for not participating in the investigation, no matter whether you did it or not. It'll be irrelevant. So you need to participate in that investigation.
But okay, let's say they don't bring you into the meeting because it's internal.
Sure.
But let's say they just want to talk through it. That's something to talk through with you, right? So you can walk through what's going to happen next, and earlier the better they reach out to
100%.
You.
100%. Because if they say, well, I think this is what the person's going to say, and say, well, let's talk about that. What did they say? What did you say? What did you do? What did you not do? Was it over text? Was it in person, off-site, on-site? You know, and I will help them think about how they're going to respond to these things so they're not going in cold. But I said, listen, you've got to have some idea what this investigation's about, even if HR is not telling you specifically, which they're not going to tell. Even during the questioning, they're not going to give away too much.
Could you end up getting fired and never really know exactly what you did, or will HR tell you at the end, here's what happened?
Absolutely, you can get fired and not really understand what happened. They don't have to give you a report. They don't have to tell you why.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. They can just fire you.
You're an at-will employee.
You're an at-will employee. And so, you know, yes, and that's really frustrating. I think when I talk to people and it ends in a termination or discipline, which is probably going to turn into a termination a few months later, folks are mostly frustrated by the fact that they don't think it's fair and they think they weren't believed. Okay, you have conflicting facts. Did it happen? Did it not happen? And the company comes down on, you know what? We're just going to fire you because we're more concerned about a lawsuit from the person claiming harassment. That's what makes people really frustrated.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. 630 really just is hammering me about this Manuka thing. He says, or she says, replay the tape. You said Manuka. I win. You do not win. Replay the tape. So already we're going to do that during the news.
We can just move on.
Yeah, we should.
We can't. You get hung up sometimes on these things.
I might get a text from the bosses in a moment just saying, move on.
Move on, right.
Hey, this is all
or
good
from me.
This is all good plug for Manuka, though. Our your hometown, Thursday, July 31st. We're going to teach you how to say the name, And we're going to tell you all about it.
That's a professional segue right there.
Sure is. Your hometown featuring Minooka. Sponsored by the Village of Minooka. M-I-N-O-O-K-A.
However you say it. It's a nice place to be.
News next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Then more Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Patrick Dolan remains. Mike Leonard hops on the show next on WGN.